The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates sheep from goats. And he will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food, thirsty and you gave me drink, a stranger and you welcomed me, naked and you clothed me, ill and you cured me, you cared for me, and in prison and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer and say, 'But Lord, we did not see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you to drink. When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'And I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least of mine, you did for me.' And then he will say to those on the left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food, thirsty, and you gave me no drink, a stranger, and you did not welcome me, naked, you did not clothe me, ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' But they will answer and say, 'But Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison and not minister to your needs?' And he will answer, 'And I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, and the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. A very interesting gospel reading. It comes from the end of Matthew's gospel. It's peculiar to Matthew, the general judgment at the end of all things. Looking up close and analyzing this, the scholars find all sorts of interesting questions about it. Does this mean it says all the people of the world? Christians, non-Christians, does it mean everybody? Or is Matthew showing us in a graphic form something of the Sermon on the Mount? And this would be maybe a reflection of what was said by Matthew, recorded there in the Sermon on the Mount. Separating the sheep from the goats, okay, the sheep are on the right, and the goats on the left. We have, you're a goat, you're in left field. Sinister on the left. On the right, dextra. I mean, there's a great sense of division here, one chosen and one rejected. What's interesting about this is that in the very early church, you have the catacombs. For the first 300 years. Constantine became the emperor in 313, and when he did, then he said no more persecution of Christians, and thereafter they began to bury their dead not just underground in the catacombs, but on a ground level. But before that, up to the 4th century, the catacombs were burial places for the Christians and for their dead, and they were all outside the walls of the city of Rome. Well, now there's a catacomb of Santa Priscilla in Rome on the Via Salaria, which is my favorite catacomb in Rome. There are many, many, many catacombs. And this is a very large catacomb. It's about 7 miles. And there the early Christians buried their dead. And in the manner in which they buried their dead, they have all sorts of graffiti and frescoes, remembering their dead and remembering images of their faith. Well, in Santa Priscilla, there's one there that belongs to the early 2nd century, about year 170 or 180. Now, that's very early in the Christian life. And there you have the image of a shepherd. It's a fresco. You can see it very clearly when you go there. I have a picture of it here in our chapel downstairs. And there's a shepherd there, and he has sheep and he has goats. There's a peacock in it, rather interesting, because a peacock is the symbol of eternal life. He has the sheep on his right, and he has the goats on his left, but he's carrying one of them on his shoulders. And if you look carefully, you'll see the one he's carrying on his shoulders is a goat. You can see the horns on the goat. Now, that's a very early interpretation of who Jesus is. And you hold that up in contrast to Matthew, and you wonder if Matthew is meant to be taken literally or if it's a graphic, kind of a stunning statement about the manner in which we should live following Jesus Christ, the manner in which we should treat others. I became very attached to this image of the shepherd at Santa Priscilla. I said, wow, there's great consolation in this, that the one chosen is the goat, the one on the left. And Michelangelo, of course, has the great remembrance of this in the Sistine Chapel. Some of you may have been to the Sistine, and on the reredos of the Sistine, he has this image of Matthew 25. And interestingly, those on the right, the saved ones, according to Matthew, are all looking up, and they're looking out, and everything is bright. And those on the left, the sinistra, they're all looking inward, and they're looking down. And that was Michelangelo's impression of those who are selfish are looking in, and they're dark. And those who are gifting others and blessing others and welcoming others are looking out, and they're looking up, and they represent light. All this is meant to teach us something, that the manner in which we live through Lent is to look out, to look up, and to be cheerful, and to be life-giving, to see Christ in other people, to change the manner in which we live, even in a small way, during the season of Lent. I mean, just to be cheerful, you know. It's good to be around people who are cheerful. The other people drag you down. So follow what the gospel urges us to do here, what Michelangelo has graphically shown in the Sistine. Look up, look out, bless people. Live life to the fullest today. Life is a gift, and it's meant to be shared. Now, that's about all you need to hear here in the warning about Matthew 25. Make this a day of life, gift, sharing. Amen. And now we'll pray for those who are struggling in life, perhaps people who belong to us. I have a great sense of compassion for the people of the Ukraine. They're caught in this incredible global power struggle. And they're the pawn right in the middle, helpless people, ravished by war. It's very, very sad. So we pray for them. We should remember the Holy Father struggling in his illness. We pray for his health. He has gifted the church immensely in his pontificate, and we pray that he will continue to do so. We make these prayers through Christ our Lord. Yeah.